Hey, this is Steve with some important news. We at the Orchard Church take our responsibility to protect and provide for our congregation very seriously. And we also know that it's our job to help flatten the curve. And it's for these reasons that we had our first ever online-only worship service this past Sunday. That means we did not gather together in the room so much, but we did stream a service on Facebook Live and on our website. And this is going to be our pattern. The CDC is saying that for at least the next 8 weeks, we should do online only. And this may be discouraging to a lot of people, but I think this is going to be the church's great opportunity to shine. This is where we can be that city on a hill. I can't think of a time, at least in my lifetime, where people have needed hope more than they do now. I can't think of a time in my lifetime where people have needed community more than now. And so this is our chance to get the gospel into as many ears and as many hearts as possible. We've set up our life group leaders to be able to have Zoom video conferencing with their life groups so that they may not gather together, but they can still fully meet and pray and love each other together. And we're going to continue to stream our services on Facebook and on our website. You can take part. Jump in to a life group and be part of a connected community. Like and share our content on Facebook whenever you can, because that gets the gospel reaching farther into even more lives. And share this podcast with others. Why? Because this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter how bad the outbreak may get. It's hard to discern how we need to deal with this particular situation right now, but surprisingly, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome, gives us some really good insight into this very kind of situation. How does the Apostle Paul recommend we deal with the crisis in our nation? It's a tough time right now. It's a tough time for all of us, isn't it? I mean, can you remember a time in our nation, in our world, that's been this troubling? Can you remember a time when everything screeched to a halt like it has in the last few days? I mean, for me, the only time that comes close is 9/11. Remember that? I mean, when that happened, everything kind of shut down, all air traffic shut down. Everybody just kind of stopped for a few minutes. But it was a very, very, very short term. And this thing, we don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know what the outcome of all this is going to be. And not only that, but our political turmoil seems to be just as bad as ever. Our economy is teetering right now, kind of on the brink. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. There's a lot of fear, and we're worried about a lot of potential suffering in our nation and in our world right now because of this disease that is spreading. So how should we deal with this? What's my responsibility as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Christ? How should I be dealing with this particular situation? Well, here at our church, we began a study of the book of Romans a few weeks ago. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, the Apostle Paul actually gives us some really good insight into how we should deal with this situation in his introduction in the book of Romans. So I want us to continue to look at that today, and I want us to see what Paul says. I want us to look at how Paul dealt with his situation that he was going through. So over the last few weeks, we have been working through Paul's introduction. I just want to kind of bring you up to speed on it really quickly. Starts off like this in Romans 1. He introduces himself. He says, "This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son, Jesus. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Paul is really clear to introduce himself, but he introduces himself as a slave to Jesus. And then he spends the rest of the time talking about Jesus. You see, here's the thing. Paul had had to go through a whole lot of trouble, a whole lot of suffering, a whole lot of pain to get to the place where he could write this letter. Paul had gone through some of the most difficult times of anybody's life ever to get to the place to write Romans. And when Paul writes Romans, what he's saying is, this isn't about me. This is about Jesus. You know, the temptation is to focus in on all the bad things that are going on in our lives, all the things that scare us, all the things that hurt us, all the things that get us down, and to focus on me. But Paul is telling us right here, this isn't about me. It's always and only about Jesus. In other words, what Paul is telling us, and this is the first blank if you're following along, is that there's something much more to this. The first thing for us to remember is that there is something much more to this, that it may look like this disease is coming and taking over the world, but there's something more going on. There's something bigger behind the scenes. There's a much bigger, better story that God is actually telling through all of this. Can you see it? Do you realize that all of this is just temporary? And there's something more going on here. And so Paul recognizes this. He recognizes there's something more going on here than what you can just see, what you can just touch, what you can just feel. There's something much more going on than what CNN or Fox News is reporting. There's something much more. And so Paul is about to unload this letter, this theological work, to kind of tell us the story of what's really going on, to tell us how this is all really about to work out. And so at this very introduction, he's just setting it all up. But before he lets into all of the theology, this important letter that really forms our understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ, before he does that, he stops and he says, I'm going to pray. He says, there's something much more going on here. And he says, before we get to that, though, I'm going to pray. And so Paul goes from his introduction right into talking about prayer. He talks about prayer first. And this is Paul's attitude. This is always Paul's attitude. He's always starting with prayer. In fact, all of Paul's letters, except for one, begin with prayer. He does a little introduction. Here's who I am. Here's what I'm about. And then he says, I'm going to pray. And he prays, all of them but one. He doesn't pray for the church at Galatia because he's ticked off at them. He's writing them because they've gone astray. So he kind of just launches off by saying, hey, I'm Paul, and this is what I'm all about. And hey, by the way, you are blowing it. So make sure. So I just got a message that somehow this did not get online to Facebook. But it is now. Okay, so we're going to be catching up on Facebook. Okay, so I apologize. I don't know why. We are just now going online live on Facebook. Our testing yesterday seemed to work, but for some reason it did not now. So welcome. I'm glad you're here. Let me just say a welcome again really quickly. If you're joining us on Facebook, thank you for joining us. Sorry we're a little late. We're talking about Paul and how he tells us to deal with this current situation. And Paul starts by praying. He always starts by praying. This is always Paul's attitude, right? He always starts off with praying. Is that how we started off? I mean, I got to admit, this morning we came in here, and even though we had tested and worked everything out yesterday, we had a whole different crew come in here today to kind of start putting everything together, and it was kind of a disaster. And we didn't get a chance to stop and pray like we normally do this morning. Is your first response prayer? Because it's Paul's first response. It's the biblical first response. And I can't think of a more important time than to stop and pray than right now. Because it's scary out there right now. It's scary out there. There's a lot of stuff going on. None of us have seen this kind of environment in the world in our lifetime. right? And nobody knows what's coming next. Nobody knows how to predict what's going forward. So I just want you to know, we are a praying church. And we love praying for you, and we love getting your prayer requests. So if you're in the room, I hope you'll be writing down your prayer requests. I don't know if we got cards. I don't even know what we're doing here in the room. But if you're online, do the digital response card and let us know how we can pray for you. If you're on Facebook, man, shoot us a comment. Shoot Sherry a comment right now, so that we can know how we can be praying for you. We are a praying church, and we want to be praying for you. Like and share this and share your prayer requests. Yeah, but look how Paul prays. Look specifically at what Paul says. It's in Romans 1:8. Here's what he says. He says, "Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world." Paul's been through so much to get here. He's been through so much pain and suffering, and yet he starts off being thankful. He says, "I want to thank God." He's happy to see God at work. Remember, at this time in the Roman Empire, it was illegal to be a Christian. It was tolerated for the most part, but not always. In fact, it was dangerous at that time to be a believer, right? Most of these people that he's writing to probably had friends or family members who had been killed just for being a Christian. You know, we think it's hard to be a believer in America in the 21st century because we got peer pressure, we got cultural pressure. You know, it's hard, and our world is turning all atheistic, it seems like. But for these people, it was dangerous. You could be killed, and it was going to be a lot worse before it got any better. And Paul is saying, "I'm thankful to God because your faith is being talked about." He starts off being thankful. Here's Paul's advice to us. Next blank on your page, if you're following along, Paul tells us to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, right? Paul would have us cultivate an attitude of gratitude. He wants us to be thankful people and to be able to thank God for where we are. Hey, if you're online watching, I'm sorry. Normally this works really well. Is everything, are we missing slides or something, Jamie? They did not come in order, so sorry about that. Okay, hey, we'll have our junk together next week, I promise. I hope you'll join us next week and we'll have it all together. So we're gonna be thankful no matter what. It may be difficult and we may be facing hardship. We may be getting lonely as we're isolated, but we will cultivate an attitude of gratitude. In our human nature, it's easy to get pessimistic or angry, or what I've heard during this disease outbreak, pessimism, sarcasm, judgmentalism, depression. It's easy to fall into those things, but Paul would have us cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Right in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." In Colossians, he writes, "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace, and always be thankful." Over and over again, Paul is telling us to have an attitude of gratitude, to be grateful for where you are and who you are in Christ. I know something I'm grateful for. I'm really grateful that this week on Tuesday, Jeff Parker, our new worship leader, is going to be starting his job. Can you think of a worse day, a worse week in history to start a new job? He's moving from out of state to here, and they'll be here tomorrow, and welcome to LJ. Now go home and stay there. Don't come out. I mean, it's terrible, but I'm really thankful that they're coming next week. Jeff will be here, and hopefully we'll have all of our junk together a little bit better, and you'll get a chance to meet Jeff, and I think he'll even maybe lead us in a song or two, and it'll be a little bit more of an entire full scope service next week. Really thankful for Jeff starting this week. But I want to look at Paul's entire prayer example for us right here in Romans 1. Look what he says. He says, let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. And here's what he says. He says, one of the things I pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. You hear that? He's praying for the chance to come to Rome and see this church he's never met before, this church that he doesn't hardly know anybody in, and he's praying for the chance to go to them. And here's why, okay? This is why Paul's praying to go see him. He says this in verse 11. He says, for I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. You hear that? He wants to, he's praying for the chance to come visit them, to give them something, some gift. When he says, when we get together, I want to encourage you, and I want to be encouraged by your faith. So I think Paul would have us in a desperate, difficult time like this. I think Paul would have us, this is the next blank if you're following along, pray for what you can give. Pray for what you can give. I think Paul is tired, like I am, and like you probably are, of people always wanting prayer for the same thing over and over again and about how bad their life is all the time. Paul was about praying for what he could contribute to the kingdom of God. Paul was praying for the opportunity to be part of the solution, not just praying for the problem. Paul was praying for what God could do in and through him so that he could make a difference around him. Well, I tell you what, that's the way I want to pray. I'm so easy to pray for the sickness and the health and the depression and the hurt. I'm so easy and quick to get on the head shaking, oh God, it's terrible here. Will you just fix my problems? I'm so easy to fall into that. But Paul prays for the chance to give something back. He prays for the chance to make a difference himself. He prays that he can give. Right? In 1 John, the Apostle John writes, he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, in other words, they didn't get the toilet paper before it all ran out, right? Or they didn't buy enough hand sanitizer, or even worse, maybe they're elderly and live near you and they can't get out, or they shouldn't get out because they're high risk. If you see them in need and have no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Doesn't the love of God make a difference in us? Doesn't it change the way we see people around us and the needs around us? And instead of hoarding and making sure we've got ourselves taken care of, doesn't it turn us into givers? Doesn't it turn us into compassionate lovers of others? Isn't that who God is? Isn't that who Jesus is? Isn't that who we are? If we're not looking at our neighbor right now and saying, how can I make a difference like Paul? How can I give here? If that's not us, then John says, how can the love of God be in us? Dear children, let us not love with words or with speech, but with actions and truth. That's how you know what love is you see it happening. You don't just hear about it, you see it happening. So my encouragement to all of us is to, first of all, be aware of needs around us. I'm hearing about people who are discovering neighbors that are near them in the neighborhood, in various places, and they're just discovering that, hey, there's some high-risk elderly people near me, and they don't want to go into the store, and I don't want them to go into the store. How can I help them? What can I do to serve them? Right? Did you know that we're one of the five poorest counties in the state of Georgia. Gilmer County is one of the five poorest counties in the state of Georgia. And a lot of our people here at the Orchard Church have been asking, what are we doing about hungry kids? You may know there was a study done several years ago that discovered that there were a lot of children in our community that did not get proper nutrition, did not get enough food to eat when school was out. So there's a lot of kids right here in our community like that. And a lot of us have been asking, what are we doing about that? School is out now. How are we loving on? How are we taking care of those kids? And I just want you to know, I'm really excited about what our school is doing. I've been in contact with them to ask this very question, and how can we help? And the short answer is, don't help right now, because we have two goals. We want to feed hungry kids, but we also want to limit human exposure. You know, we want to protect everybody, kids and everybody we want to protect. And so the school has a really good system that they've already implemented that goes into effect tomorrow. And they're going to be sending school buses loaded with food to various distribution points all around the county, including right here in this parking lot. They're going to be coming right here to our parking lot with a school bus. And every day, for the duration that school is out, they're going to be distributing food directly from the school buses because they want to limit human exposure. And so this is the list they provided me with all of the different distribution points. There we are right there. But there's a lot of places all around. Tower Road is one of the places where our heart beats, and they're going to have a bus out at Tower Road, and they don't want our help this time around, and that's okay. I think that's probably the best way we can help, is stay out of the way on this one. Does that make sense? Because we want to limit human exposure, and I think that's a good idea right now. We also know that there's been a big literacy push here in our community. There's a lot of kids that struggle with reading on their grade level. And so we've been in the middle of doing a big book drive right here at the Orchard Church. And we're working with Gilmer High School to do their big literacy night. Sherry, I don't know if that's still going to happen or not. Yeah, we don't know at this point if literacy night is going to happen. But I'm sure, even if literacy night doesn't happen, that we'll be able to get books into the hands of kids. And so we are not turning off our book drive. We are still doing the book drive. We would love for you online and for you in person to contribute books for kids. We'll take them here. You can come by the church anytime and leave them off in a box or a bag on our front porch. Please do. We won't come and breathe on you, I promise. We won't lick you or anything. Just come and drop them off in a bag or in a box, and we'll make sure that they get where they need to go so that kids can read. We want to just assist kids in reading. These are some of the ways that we can give, that we can make a difference in our community around us, even in these dark days. This is our responsibility as believers, because we know how this all ends, right? We already know how this all ends up, right? It's all going to happen in a certain specific pre-designed way, and we can be confident in that. In fact, John is on the island of Patmos, and he's given this revelation by God. And he sees this picture of what the end is going to look like. And in describing a little about this, one of the things that he talks about is the beast. You know, we all know about the beast that's coming at the end times. And some people will worship the beast, and others will not. Some will worship the false god, the demon god, and some will worship the one true God. And here's how John describes the people who are the beast worshipers. This is really interesting to me. I love this passage. He says this in Revelation 13. He says that all who dwell on the earth, earth dwellers, will worship the beast. Everyone, that is, whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. I love this passage. It says that the beast worshipers are those that whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the Lamb's book of life. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that your names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're a follower of Christ, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this verse gives me great confidence, because what I can see clearly here in this verse and in many others like it is that my name was written in the book of the Lamb who was slain when? Before the foundation of the world. What this tells me is that before God even said, "Let there be light," He had a plan. He had a plan that started way before even creation began and will come to completion in the end exactly the way He designed it. He wrote His book before it even started. And we can trust His plan. His plan is good, and it is good for Him, and it's good for me. What this means is God created this entire world knowing that it would soon be broken, knowing that we would fall, and knowing that we would rebel against Him. He knew that it would bring sin into this world, and all of us would be overcome with sin. Scripture tells us that all are sinners, that all of us are criminals against a holy God, and that the wages of sin is death, right? The consequences of sin is death. Do you believe that? Because all you gotta do is look around this world, and even when there's not an outbreak, just about all you can see is death. You see pain and suffering. You see hurt, abuse, neglect. You see addiction. You see suffering and pain. The consequences of sin is death. And we're all living out the consequences of that sin. And we will all experience eternal death, judgment from God for being the criminals that we are. But God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him will not die, will not perish, but will have eternal life. This means if you put your trust in Him, if you surrender your life to Him, what you're saying is that you know that He's paid the price for your sin. He died on the cross for your sin. He took the punishment of death for you. He died and He rose again, and now He lives in and through me and you. That's the gospel, and that gives us hope. It gives us confidence to know that we can live out His plan that He designed before this all even began. He created all of it, knowing what would happen, yet having your name in His book. God has a plan, and it's all going to be brought to completion. Right? In 2 Timothy, Paul writes that God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it. Not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from before the beginning of time, to show us grace through Christ Jesus. So what this is all saying is, how should I deal with this situation right now? Next blank on your page, if you're following along, this is all part of His plan. This is all part of His plan. All right, it's my responsibility to pray. It's my responsibility to give, to serve, to love. But all this is part of His plan. You hear me? Hey, kids, you hear me? It's all part of His plan. I know it's scary right now. It looks like this disease is owning this world right now. It shut down just about everything, from birthday parties to funerals to school systems to governments. There's an entire country on lockdown right now. Industries are shutting down. The economy is teetering, and everybody's trying to figure out what to do. Nobody expected this, and it seems to be ruining everybody's plans. But I promise you, this disease is absolutely no threat at all to God's plan. Not a threat at all to His plan. God's had a plan all along, and it includes me, it includes you, and it even includes this great circumstance that we're under right now, right? His kingdom is stronger than this disease. His kingdom is eternal, and His kingdom will prevail in the end. And that's the kingdom that I want to serve. That's the kingdom that I want to be part of. That's the kingdom that makes me secure in who I am, because I know who I am in Christ. His kingdom is that powerful. War, poverty, hunger, terrorism, sickness, even this disease, they are no threat to the kingdom and the plan of God. Can't get an amen on that? And the good news is that you are an ambassador of that kingdom. As a follower of Christ, you get to be an ambassador of that kingdom, the much better kingdom. China hadn't been able to stand against this disease. Italy hadn't been able to stand, and it may prove that America can barely stand against it. But the kingdom of God will last forever. The kingdom of God is strong and will prevail for eternity. So we have an attitude of gratitude because we have a lot to be grateful for. And we pray, not just for ourselves, but for what we can give, because we're ambassadors. We are a light to this world, a city on the hill. The prophet Isaiah tells us how we are to be ambassadors to this world. He says in Isaiah 58, he says, share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Instead, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. You will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities, and then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Yeah, that's who we are. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. And last blank is this: I can be confident with him. I can be confident to know that his plan is better than my plan. His plan is better than this disease. I don't have to fear because I'm part of a much bigger, much better kingdom, and I can be confident in him. Sherry, how are we looking? Do we have people commenting, asking questions? What do we got? Let me answer any questions or something.
Amen.
Thank you for the amens. I needed some amens.
Lots of emojis and amens. They're just all agreeing with you wholeheartedly.
Oh, well, good. I hope this service is an encouragement to you. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for you. We're a praying church, so I hope that right now, you will submit your prayer request on your digital response cards or on the comments in Facebook. We'd love to know how we did with this. I know we kind of blew it in a bunch of ways, and we didn't have all of our junk together, but we'll get there, I hope, maybe next week, and we'll have more stuff. I'm looking forward to Jeff being here next week. I just got a note that we will be putting out plastic tubs in front of our building for anyone who wants to come here and drop off books for literacy night. We'll have tubs here at the main building and at the office building. So that's how we're going to do that. Please give back that way. Let me pray for us, and we will close this morning. God, thank you so much that we can be confident that we're part of a much bigger, much better kingdom. Lord, I thank you that even when the disease goes crazy and shuts everything down, even when our technology fails us, even when it seems like we can't figure out what we're doing, you always have a plan. And Lord, I thank you that none of this catches you by surprise, but it's all been part of your plan from before the beginning. So Lord, we trust you. We know that you are God and we're not. We know that your plan is always better than our plan. So Lord, teach us to have faith. Teach us to be confident. We don't have a spirit of timidity or of fear, but Lord, we have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Lord, let us walk in that. Lord, let us proclaim that as we are ambassadors to this world in this difficult, difficult time. Father, thank you for giving us a solid rock to stand on so that we don't have to worry about the shifting sands. Father, I pray that you would make us strong, to be a light in this world in every way. Thank you, Lord. We are yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, we really mean this. If you want to be part of a living, breathing, loving, sharing, real life community, we've got that for you. Why don't you join one of our life groups currently meeting together via Zoom conference call? It actually is way better than it sounds. You can find out about your future life group by going to our website, theorchard.life. It's our mobile site designed to help you connect to a group and connect to community and find your purpose in Christ. Would you do that? It's theorchard.life, theorchard.life. And I hope to see you in life group soon.